If you want the best coverage from the farm system to the front office, then you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast, now on the Dub Network. Here are your hosts, Jeff and John.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast. This is episode number 102, and today, Matt Hicks is going to join us. He's the Texas Rangers color analyst for radio, alongside Eric Nadel, who he's with every day. He's going to be joining us. Before we get started, got a couple announcements to make. We had a breaking news that just happened right before we came on here. You want to alert people to what just happened?
We'll be talking about Max Scherzer's back here shortly.
Yes. Also, we are able to make this announcement. We've been talking about a live show that's coming up. Guys, it's finally here. We've got a secure location. We're going to be at Hop and Sting. Microbrewery in Grapevine, Texas, January the 18th, about 7 o'clock. We're going to do a live show. We've already got a couple of guests lined up. We got one for sure who's committed. This is going to be big. Jeff will have books out there. If you bring your book, you can get that signed by Jeff, obviously. Not by me. Show me the book. It's still available. It's on Amazon. If you reach out to us, we can show you different places you can buy that book. They are also in Barnes & Noble. Someone saw one in Barnes & Noble in New Mexico.
Well, that's good. And, Triumph Books is the publisher, triumphbooks.com/Rangers. Win, you can get it there. It's all over. Somebody said they bought one at an HEB. So,
yep.
Anyway, if my new shipment comes in, we may have some copies there at the live show that I'll make you a sweet deal on.
Yeah, and guys, come out. This will be a fun time. It's going to be a relaxed atmosphere. It is free, although you will be required to pay for your own booze. We are not providing the booze. Jeff and I have already scouted it out. It's a neat little place.
Yeah,
they're going to have a back room for us in case there is some weather. We will be able to move into this big back room back there that they've made available for us. We're going to do it no matter what back there, just because of the equipment and that we need to plug in and do all of that. But it's a great venue, and really big thanks to Hop and Sting for letting us come out. Lots of good craft beers out there. We tried a couple of them. They were pretty good. They have food trucks that they have out there, so there'll be some food if you want to. You can go get some food truck food. And we've already got one guy that everyone's going to want to see lined up, and hopefully some more coming. Yep. But that is January 18th. It's a Thursday night. So not on the weekends. We're not going to disrupt your weekend with your family or anything like that. Hope to see you guys out there. We got to talk about stuff going on with the big league.
We got one more announcement.
Yes.
There is a holiday sale going on right now at rangerstoday.com where new subscribers
and
gift subscriptions can be had for $48.
It's for one year.
It's a pre-Christmas thing. It'll actually run through the day after Christmas, which I think is the 26th. And it's $48. It's 20% off. If you're a free member and want to upgrade, you can do that. So take advantage of it. I mean, this is good stuff. You don't have to leave your house to go shopping. You know, if your Rangers fan has everything he could possibly want but doesn't have Rangers Today, it's a perfect gift. You don't have to leave the house. So
let me tell you, it's worth it. And I've got to say how much this is worth it to get this news. Guys, there are some big things that might be happening with this show because of people discovering what Rangers Today has done.
Yeah.
We can't talk about it. It's going to be we're pretty sure it's going to happen. Some fantastic stuff. It's because of Jeff and his writing. It's because of this book. It's because of this podcast and what you guys have done for us. It has opened up some avenues for some really big and cool stuff to happen. And we kind of got approached by this, and this sounds like it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
But we've got to get into the breaking news right now. It just came down before we got started here.
Yeah, Max Scherzer. You might have heard of him, 3-time Cy Young winner.
He plays for the Rangers,
trade
right?
Trade deadline acquisition. He hurt his back in what was it, game 3 of the World Series?
Right, had stiffness. He was having some stiffness.
Spasms. And they didn't go away. In fact, they got worse. And it turns out that he had a herniated disc in his lower lumbar region. It's a very common thing. It happens to athletes. It happens to fat sports writers like me. And
not as fat as me.
So he's going to be out till June or July. Chris Young just delivered the news. The beat writers thought it was going to be a Tyler Malley press conference, but
which we're going to get into.
It turned into a Max Scherzer deal. So I mean, that's obviously a big blow.
He'll be back before DeGrom and Malley.
Probably right around the same time. Probably around the same time as Malley, who started throwing already. But sounds like, just listening to Chris Young, they're still they haven't ruled anything out as far as pitching acquisitions. They're still in contact with Jordan Montgomery. They're still in contact with Martin Perez. I think this puts an onus. Is that the right word? Puts an impetus on Owen White, Jack Leiter, Cole Wynn, Zach Kent, Dane Ackert to get better and get better quick, make themselves
– some of these kids need to step up.
Make themselves major league options. But, you know, as things stand right now, the rotation is Nathan Eovaldi, feel good about that. John Gray, feel good about that. Andrew Heaney, Cody Bradford.
Dane Dunning.
And Dane Dunning. So
That's a formidable rotation.
It's fine. It can be better. And
exactly.
And, you know, games in April and May count too. So
right.
I would expect to see the Rangers.
So right now, guys,
they have the money. Chris Young has said it. I know there's been a lot said about the TV deal, which I wrote about Sunday in the Sunday Read at RangersToday.com, and I think it's a little overblown. I really do. I think that they kind of know. I think they have an idea of what their TV future is going to look like without Bally. Whether that's this year or next year,
these are business guys. They know. Yeah,
they're prepared.
They know what they're going to do.
I think they've probably laid out what they're going to do, how much money they can expect, and then they'll be able to figure out the math and all of that stuff. So,
and if MLB does what they did for the teams last year, that where they'll guarantee 80% of what your current contract is if this falls away, they're going to get some money. So,
one way,
at least for 2024.
Yeah, I just, you know, and I think if they don't, if Montgomery doesn't re-sign, it'll be because the deal went beyond where they're comfortable.
Sure.
You know, they're still...
I've said that over and over.
You still look at this team, ownership, the general manager's changed, yes, but ownership is the same. And ownership has put out a ton of money here.
They are not cheap.
The last 2 years, $800 million or something like that. And, you know... It's there was never going to be another huge offseason. I think that's just I know everybody got excited what they did the last couple of years, thought at World Series, all right, keep it going.
Ohtani,
spend a ton of money. I don't know if that was ever in the plans. And so
let's be honest.
But I think Montgomery is doable. I really do.
Yeah, well, let's be honest. Right now, with no signatures and no new free agents besides Tyler Malley, who's coming in, and what they have, this team is going to be picked to be one of the top teams in the American League.
For sure.
Period. Yeah. I mean, so if people act like, well, good Lord, they're just going to let it. They just wanted one World Series. They're not even going to go for it again. This team is a powerful, good team as is. Now, do we want them to get better? Yes. Do they want to get better? Hell yeah, they want to get better. They want to get better. But one thing that you've got to be smart about, I've said this over and over again, you can't be stupid with your money. Right. You got to be smart with your money.
Yeah,
I love Jordan Montgomery and Jordan Montgomery coming back, but you know, he would be great for this rotation, but he is not a top of the rotation guy.
Yeah,
he is a wonderful innings eater. He did great in the postseason. He was amazing in the postseason. Maybe he's becoming a top of the rotation guy. He could be, but sometimes you just have that hot run. He's always been a good starter, and he would be great on this team.
Right, but you know, let's say it gets to 6 years. Do you want to give him a 6-year contract? The Rangers don't want to give anybody 6-year contracts.
No.
So, or at least pitchers. I, you know, obviously they gave Semien and Seager 7- and 10-year contracts. But I would think that from a pitcher, you know, when's the last time they signed somebody to a 6-year deal?
Exactly.
It's been a long time. I can't even.
Jacob DeGrom got 5.
5. Yeah, I can't even think. You know, Cliff Lee got 5 from the Phillies, and that's. I think
the Rangers offered him more than that. He just wanted to go back to Philadelphia.
Well, whatever. But I just can't see.
Unless it's your own guy years. That you've developed.
Unless it would be like a Yamamoto.
Sure.
You know, I could see that.
25 years old.
Or you could do it for like, you know, like you're saying, extending a young guy like.
What if Leiter turns into Leiter that we thought and saw?
Right.
He comes up here. He's got a 2.6 ERA over 14 starts going into next year. and you want to sign him to 7-10 years and it not going to be $25 million a year, you're going to sign him
but
with opt-outs.
Just like, you know, free agent, it's been a while since the Rangers have done that, if they've ever done that. So
sure.
Anyway, so yeah, so the rotation's in flux right now, but
how much money's coming off the books next year? Who's coming off?
Well, you know, Heaney's 13, Scherzer I think is 20, accountant is a $22 million hit against him.
Gray will have one more.
All these relievers they've signed, you know, this any 1 year deal obviously comes off the books. So they're pretty low right now. You know, arbitration wise, they're gonna get a hit. You know, because I mean, you know, Nate Lowe's getting a raise this year. He'll get a raise next year if he's still with the team. Adolis Garcia is gonna get a huge raise. So there are different things as the money. Yeah, you're gonna want to lock up guys, but as the money drops, you know, if you as you lose free agents, there's always arbitration money you gotta put into account. So it may actually wipe its
who's arbitration this
wipe
year
itself out.
Is it Lowe?
Lowe's in a second year. You've got Garcia in his first year. He's probably going to get, I'd say, 4 or 5. Lowe's, I think, projected to get around 8. Tavares is going to get a raise.
3 to 5, somewhere in there, probably.
Probably 3, I'd guess. So, you know, Young's not there yet. Evan Carter's not there yet. I think Heim is there finally. So he's gonna have a nice little raise from the league minimum. So
sure.
But that's just the business of baseball.
Sure.
There's going to be opportunity. And you know, these guys aren't just looking at this year's payroll. They're looking at how it plays out the next 4 or 5 years and who won't be back, who could come off. I mean, Evaldi technically could come off.
Right.
After this year. But it's a complicated thing when they're
plus
putting
the luxury tax threshold goes up,
right? It's 237 this year. It'll be over 240 next year. But when they think about signing a guy, it's not just, you know, a one. It's not, they're not just looking at this year's payroll. They're looking at future payrolls and you can, you know, you can find them all online and projections and things like that that don't include the arbitration guys.
Honestly, but, yeah. The best thing that can happen for this team is one of these young starters turn into what they think. And let's not forget, no one's talking about this guy because he's nowhere near having to be on the big league squad. But Kumar Rocker is a stud starting pitcher who was performing well at high A before he started feeling some elbow tightness. That's another guy that comes back towards the end of this year. He is not coming to the big leagues. We know that. Yeah. But that's a guy who could back August and September. Coming into 2025, he may start the season at high A or double A starting in 2025, and you may see this other guy developing into a guy. By the end, he's going to be on innings. You know, they're going to have an innings thing or something. But look at what they did with someone like Bradford or somebody who could slide into the rotation now and probably give you 120, 30 innings if he was a rotation guy. But he was coming out of the bullpen doing a great job. You could see Rocker be somebody by the end of 25 or early 26, getting a few spot starts, doing that coming in. I mean, they've got arms in the minor leagues that could be cheap and great. They just need to perform. They've got to perform.
Well, I don't see any of them opening the season with the team.
No.
And I don't – honestly, the way the rotation stands right now, I don't think is what it's going to look like when spring training opens. They're going to add depth. They're going to add some guys you know, non-roster deals. But they're gonna add a 40-man pitcher. I just don't think there's any doubt about it. It's just how they do it. Can they do it from trades? Can they do it free agency?
Right.
There are a lot of guys out there. And so while there's you know, opening in the rotation, there's no question about it. I don't know that anybody needs to panic. I think there's plenty of time this offseason to get a trade done. I just think that when the season opens, there will be guys who you know are going to be in the rotation, who are solid.
There could be other injuries
known quantities,
too.
Yeah.
There could be other injuries that happen between now and the end of spring training that could open holes in there. So they're going to have non-roster invitees that are going to be there. They're probably going to make a new move for another pitcher. I always go back to this. This lineup is fantastic.
Yeah.
This rotation is good. But I think back to the first year the Rangers ever went to the World Series. and their opening day starter was Scott Feldman.
Yeah.
So things change.
Yeah. Yeah,
this team will not sit on its ass at trade deadline if they need to make a move to get somewhere.
Right.
They've signed. Look at who they've signed so far. Let's talk about them.
Okay.
Go into what?
Kirby Yates.
Kirby Yates.
You know, former
Atlanta Brave.
Former Padre. Was really, really good in 2019. I think he had 41 saves. His best pitch is a split-fingered fastball. It's what got him on the radar with the Padres. He did have Tommy John surgery, so he's still – last year was kind of his first full year back from that, and he pitched pretty well. He gave up a lot of home runs, I think, more than he'd definitely like. But veteran guy, what was it, $4.5 million?
You get 2 years.
No, he just got 1 year.
1 year, okay.
And it's a good signing. It's, you know, it's a guy who probably has something left. I think
he comes in better than Will Smith was. Well, Will Smith was minor league.
No, Will Smith was a major league.
But he was signed in spring training.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That could happen too. Some of these guys.
Yeah. I mean, the way that the market has changed it here, if you don't. You'd like to have a deal at the start of spring training, but a lot of guys get signed after spring training starts. I mean, Robbie Grossman and Will Smith.
Yep.
You know, Robbie Grossman hit 10 home runs and killed lefties, and Will Smith was great in the first half. So there's things out there that can get done. But we're on the subject of Kirby Yates. He fills the Rangers wanted a veteran, so they got him a veteran. He's a good veteran. You know, he's pitched in these situations before. He'll go in the back of the bullpen with Jose Leclerc and Josh Spores. So, you know, and Leclerc technically is an addition. The Rangers had to exercise their team option to keep him. So there's a $6.5 million or $6.25 million expenditure. So you got three right-handers there at the back. A lot of young arms. You know, that are going to have a chance to make the bullpen. You could have multiple inning guys. Let's say Cody Bradford doesn't make the rotation out of spring training. Well, Cody Bradford's in your bullpen, and he's gonna have a pretty big role. So
in the postseason,
yeah. And one thing to consider that Chris Young brought up is that the Rangers played an extra month.
Yeah.
They have pitchers who have injury concerns in their past. They're not going to be pushing anybody to 200 innings this year. They have a 1 month less to recover. So it's. I think depth was always the plan, and I think yes, this Scherzer thing is a big setback for the start of the year, but there's going to be arms, and I just think that. You know, when August and September roll around, you're going to see maybe four starting pitchers in the bullpen.
Yeah.
You know, four of the eight in the bullpen are going to be starters, and it has that potential, and so it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out. But you know, here in the next, what is today, the 15th of December, let's say spring training starts in 2 months, so over the next 8 or 9 weeks, I would be shocked if the Rangers didn't sign a known pitching quantity to be a starting pitcher, and maybe two.
Yeah.
You know, maybe two. So, maybe they bring back Montgomery and Martin Perez. You know, maybe there's a combination like that. Martin Perez wasn't great in 2023. He had his moments. He had some bad moments. I think he was dealing with a back issue late in the year that never got out. But this is a guy who threw 196 innings in 22, started getting ready early so he could be in the World Baseball Classic. He didn't pitch a ton in the postseason, so maybe he'll have a little – maybe he got a chance to rest a little bit. But he's a guy that will give you innings and has a chance to give you good innings. So I think that there are just a lot of options out there. And yes, the headline is going to be, God, Max Scherzer's out till June or July. I get it. There's just too much time left in the off season for people to start pulling their hair out.
And they're still
good. It's not like this happened on February 15th.
No.
If that was the case, he'd be out for the year and there'd be a real problem. But
yeah.
They have time to address it. as Chris Young said in the winter meetings,
I'm glad they did. I'm glad they went ahead and got it over with.
Yeah, they have the money to do it. It's going to be a long grind for Scherzer. These first 6 weeks, it's a mental grind. You know, when you have a herniated disc, at least in my case, they didn't want me carrying anything heavier than a gallon of milk, and that's 8 pounds. I weighed it, and my son was 14 months at the time. No, he was 18 months at the time, and he was much more than 8 pounds. So I didn't get to carry my son for 6 weeks, and it's tough. You know, you're gonna think.
He's got little ones running around. I saw his kids.
It can be like kind of a grind, like in your mind. You know, if you feel a pain or feel a shot down your leg, you're like, oh man, did I do something again? Did it re-herniate? Because they just go in and they cut it off. It's a simple procedure. It's like a tonsillectomy of back injuries. There's millions of them a year, but there's a hole in your disc. It's never the same, you know. And you can do a disc replacement now, but that's a little more invasive, and it's a mental grind. For me, it was a mental grind. But as soon as I got cleared, it was like, oh. Now, a major league pitcher will have a little more aggressive program. You know, I was nothing for 6 weeks. I could go for a walk or whatever. But Matt Harrison is the recent example in Rangers lore of a guy who had herniated disc. He re-herniated it, which is where I got my fear of re-herniating it. And then he eventually had more issues and needed a fusion. A fusion will pretty much end it for a pitcher, but Scherzer's not having a fusion. He's having a simple procedure. He's already in great shape, you know.
Yeah, he keeps these.
The first thing that they had me do in my rehab was to rebuild my core muscles, which I didn't have very many of them to begin with. and Max Scherzer does. And so, you know, it's a simple thing, as simple as just the way you breathe.
He's not going to be lifting weights for a little bit.
Yeah, but he'll be able to do some things probably here a little sooner than a normal stiff like me would. But still, you don't screw with your back. Your back is involved in every god dang thing that you do. So
yeah,
but he will be back. He's in great shape. He knows his body. And yeah, he's a little bit older, and maybe that's what's starting to happen here. But I would expect, you know, look, if he comes back in June and Tyler Mahle comes back in July, Jacob DeGrom comes back in August, and they're good.
Yeah.
You know, that's a heck of a second half charge if the Rangers need to make one, but there's still this terrific offense.
Yes.
A bullpen that came around and showed a lot of promise in the postseason that probably restored some confidence in the relievers themselves and the fan base and the team. And then, you know, these starting pitchers are still capable guys. And again, there's still time to go out there and get a guy or two. So don't push the panic button yet.
No, there's no reason to.
Yeah, Rangers today is going to be there the whole way. Like I said, there's a holiday sale right now for an annual subscription for new subscribers and gift subscriptions for $48. It's less than $50. That's $4 a month. Simple math tells me. And you just get it. Just do the dang thing. And you know, whoever you give it to won't regret it. If you've been straddling the fence, you're not going to regret it. So go out and get it.
People are watching this, guys, and people are reading Jeff. And, you know, this is right here. It's a great time. It's a cheap price to do it. It's nothing but wall-to-wall coverage, and it goes in-depth into the minor leagues, which, yeah, by the way, after Matt Hicks, for the first time since the offseason started, we do have to do a little bit of down in the bus.
Yeah, there's a little business we got to clean up.
We just got to clean it up. It's not going to be a big one. It's a lot better during the season because we're recapping what's happened all through the minor leagues.
Yeah.
So, but we're not, there's nothing to do that now.
Yeah. Well, this Max Scherzer thing kind of scuttled our plans for the podcast. I was like, hey, you know, kind of let's do a season recap and,
yeah,
you know, because I don't know that we'll have another show here before the new year, and
a lot of Christmas stuff going.
I guess the quick summary of the season: the Rangers won the World Series.
They did.
That's what I heard.
I checked. It is still real. It is still real.
Yeah.
And the guy that was in the booth with Eric Nadell when he made that historic call, and he said, "This is not a dream."
Yeah.
Is going to join us.
Okay, let's get to them.
So let's go to Matt Hicks, guys. He'll be with us right after this.
Hey, guys. I know I just said this. John just said it. But want to make sure, double sure, triple sure, that you guys are aware of what we've got out there right now with Rangers Today. Holiday sale, $48 for an annual subscription. That's for new subscribers and for gift subscriptions. It's 20% off. It's $4 a month. I mean, that's less than a Big Mac, I think. I mean, it's just such a good deal. So if you're a Rangers fan or you know a Rangers fan, want to get him a gift or her a gift, and you're running out of time and don't want to go to the malls, by God, rangerstoday.com will get you set up. Also, don't forget about our book, At Long Last. You can get it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and triumphbooks.com/rangerswin. It's a look back at the postseason, the 2023 season, really. Great collector's item, great mementos. Players will autograph it for you. It's just a good thing. And then, as John mentioned, and we're going to mention probably again before we get out of here, January 18th, 7 p.m., Hop and Sting Brewery and Grapevine. It's the Rangers Today live show. One guess is already confirmed. Probably two very, very solid yeses, and we're trying to get two more, and you will know them, and you will want to listen to them and see them. So stay tuned for details for that.
All right, guys, and joining us right now is the Texas Rangers radio color analyst who was there for the World Series this year when Eric Nadell had that memorable call. It's our good buddy.
That's right.
We see out there all the time. It's Matt Hicks. Max, what's going on, bud?
How are you guys? So so glad to be joining you here.
Yeah, thanks. We've been kind of plotting how we're going to get to everybody, and we finally have gotten to the radio team. So we're glad to have you, as always. You know, always good to see you. Always good to talk to you. Are you still riding a World Series high?
Yeah, I think so. You know, yesterday I had the opportunity to go to a front office party and, and talk to some people that I hadn't seen in a while, some not even during the season, and how everybody is so excited for what happened and what's to come. So it's kind of neat. I also this week received a little token for 10 years of service to the club. So I got a Louisville Slugger with my name etched in it. And of course, since all of that happened after the World Series, it's got 2023 World Series champs on the bat. So so this week has been nice to sort of relive some of the moments of the season.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought, you know, as we were leaving the ballpark after game five, I rode down the elevator with you and Eric, and man, 45 years for Eric.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I don't know if anybody deserved it more, you know, in the organization, maybe John Blake, but man, what a moment it had to be for him.
You know, one of the things I think about with Eric, when you talk about 45 years with the club, he started with the club during the 1979 season. And I'm thinking to myself, where was I in the summer of 1979? In the summer of 1979, I had just finished my freshman year of college. and baseball was definitely not on the horizon when I was at college at the University of Maryland. I thought that in addition to preparing for a career as a school teacher, which is what I got my degree in, that I would prepare for a career in radio and maybe even have an opportunity to be a broadcaster in the National Hockey League. Yeah. So all of my energies were sort of devoted to that. And baseball really wasn't even on the radar back then. But that was Eric's first year with the Texas Rangers. So you think about being with the franchise for all but the first six or seven seasons since the move from Washington, D.C., and all of the ups and downs. And of course, there were plenty of downs during that time. But then to come so close in 2010 and especially 2011 and not to be able to get there. So my thoughts that day were definitely with Eric. You guys know Levi Weaver. He did a story on Eric, and he was, you know, interviewing quite a few people, and he was the one that was in the booth with us recording the video that a lot of people have commented on. In fact, at the party last night, I had a number of people talk about that, including Chris Young, who said he's watched it over and over again to help sort of relive those moments. But yeah, being there, when Levi interviewed me about the piece, I got all choked up. I started crying. I couldn't stop. So it was definitely a special moment to be there, seated next to him as, he was able to, relay that moment to all the Rangers listeners.
So since we brought this up, did you know Eric before you joined the team?
So no, I only knew of him and knew that he had been a longtime Ranger broadcaster. Uh-huh. And I had never really, you know, being in the minor leagues, and you guys probably know this, when you're a radio broadcaster, you're not just the radio broadcaster. Right. You're also the John Blake and Rich Rice of the team, yes, and a variety of other roles that you have to fulfill. So it's almost like four or five full-time jobs wrapped up into one when you're in the minor leagues. So I really never spent any time listening to big league broadcasters except for hearing highlights, hearing some highlight calls. And so my first ever meeting with Eric was the day before I went on the air with him back in 2012. It was the first time I ever met him. I'll tell you a funny story. Back in 2011 was the season that Josh Hamilton had the four homer game in Baltimore. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. May 9th.
Okay, and that was in May of that year.
Yes.
So in May of that 2011 season, I was still with the Corpus Christi Hooks, and we played in a game. I believe it was against San Antonio. And I had a particularly good call on a ball that was hit over our short wall in left center field, where two of our outfielders simultaneously flipped over the wall. And so the two players and the ball went over the wall, and you had no idea what happened. Yeah. And one of them actually caught it and then came back over the wall, so it was an out. And so I had a really, really good call. Well, that highlight and that call made it to number one on SportsCenter's top plays. And, you know, you talk about your 15 minutes of fame, and here I am deep into my run in the minor leagues, and this call gets to number one, and a number of people, you know, responded to it, and I got a lot of text and whatnot. Well, it was number one on SportsCenter for like a little something over 2 days, you know, sort of like a 60-hour run. Yeah. As the number one top play on SportsCenter. It got knocked off by Eric's call of Josh Hamilton's fourth home run in that game in Baltimore. So obviously I heard that call and I'm like, man, that's a great call.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm going to get knocked off, I might as well get knocked off by a great call. And, you know, he makes the call and he goes, and that ball is history. I did not know that that was his signature call.
Okay.
And so he makes the call, and I'm like, man, that is awesome. No wonder this guy is highly regarded. It's very good. But I didn't realize it was his signature call. So, and then his call of the Hamilton home run was like number one for another two or three days. So for that entire week, the top call, half of it was mine and half of it was Eric's.
That's pretty cool.
That is actually pretty in-depth.
Yeah. Yeah,
I was going to talk to you about this after the baseball stuff, but since we're on it, did he make it a easy transition to where you guys? I mean, you guys are great together on the radio.
Thank you.
Was it seamless
transition? Well, I don't know if you're changing horses midstream, you know, and you're going from double A to the big leagues in the middle of the season. And especially for me, you know, I was an Astros affiliate, and for many years, most of the teams I worked for were National League affiliates. And so I was really geared to the National League. So it was a difficult transition for me in terms of just learning the Rangers, but Eric made it as seamless as possible, realizing, you know, the chore that I had in front of me. And for me, the one guiding force was to be a compliment to Eric in every way. You know, coming into this, realizing he had been with the club for so long and knowing that people are tuning in, not just to know what's going on with the Rangers, but a lot of them are tuning in just to hear Eric's voice.
Right.
As well. And it's like, you need to be the compliment to what is Ranger baseball on the air. And so, you know, using that as a guide and not feeling the pressure of having to be the guy, which you have to be in the minor leagues, is something that helped to guide me through that transitional time. And hey, you know what? Now that I think about it, that story I told, that was the 2012 season.
Okay.
You go back and look. I think it was May of 2012 when Josh hit those four homers.
It was, so, he got off to his hot start. It was his walk year. Everybody was like, "Oh my gosh, he's going to make a ton of money."
Right.
And it, like,
but he cooled off.
Cooled off dramatically.
Yeah.
But he was unbelievable. Those first, I don't know, 7 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
8 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was. You're right.
So anyway.
But it was May. It was May, and it was at Baltimore, and I was there.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, I know you were there.
Yeah, I mean that's, you know, I mean it's rarer than a, it's more rare than a
cycle
game.
Yeah, or yeah, the
way yep. more rare than a cycle. And there's been one since, I think. But yeah, it was, and his one non homer was a double that one hopped the wall.
Right.
And, yeah, you know, I mean he hit a homer off of Jake Arrieta, or he was Jake Arrieta. The number four came off of Darren O'Day. And so it was, you know, it was, he wasn't just hitting it off of me and John. I mean, he was hitting it off some guys. So. Yeah.
It was a good day.
Yeah. It was crazy.
It was a good day for Hamilton.
Yeah.
Yep.
So let's go back to the ball club. When did you, I mean, you were in Seattle for the last game. You had to make that long flight. Was there any way that you saw what happened coming?
No, I don't think anybody could have seen the kind, not just to go 11-0 on the road in the postseason, but the way that they dominated in so many of those games, you know, to only give up one run in the two wins total over Tampa Bay, and to dispatch them as if they were not a close to 100 win club. You know, one of the things that struck me when we got to the ballpark for game one of that wild card series was Eric and I and Jared, we walk into the booth and there are these media guides sitting there for us. Tampa Bay Rays postseason media guides, like 100-some-odd pages. And so my first thought was, wow, this is incredible. This is really nice. And you start flipping through it and you're like, this is a lot of information that will be, you know, good for the broadcast. And then it almost immediately, my second thought was, these guys think they're going all the way.
Yeah.
They went through the trouble of putting together like a 120 page document, printed it, had copies for everybody. I mean, you don't do that if you're only going two games deep into the postseason. So yeah. I think in general, They're sitting there thinking, well, the Rangers will come to town. Well, we'll beat them, and then we'll move on to the division series, and that'll be fun, and we'll probably win that. And yeah. So that's like – that was the thing that kind of sort of washed over me. Like, man, these guys think they're going all the way. And then from our perspective, from our players' perspective, one of the things that was really neat about that flight from Seattle to the Tampa area, which, by the way, is 5 hours and 5 minutes, in case you were wondering. And if you're seated on the right side of the plane, you can actually see the Metroplex and wave on your way to the Gulf Coast of Florida. Long flight. But during the course of that flight, and it was the last time that we were on the team flight, because once we got to the postseason with so many people joining the traveling party, we added an additional plane. We started adding loads more buses. By the time the World Series was over, I think the entire contingent, we needed 10 or 12 buses to get to the airport in Phoenix to fly home. On the course of that flight across the country, one of the things that stood out to me was how focused the guys were. At one point during the flight, Bruce Bochy comes back toward the middle of the plane where we were seated, and he engaged in conversation with Brett Hayes and Bobby Bandalo, who sit right in front of us. And I, you know, I couldn't hear the actual conversation, but essentially what it was just going over certain scenarios of batter pitcher matchups between the two clubs. And this was, of course, you know, we're flying on that day, and then the next day it was an off day. And then we started that wild card series. So all of the guys were already, you know, they weren't thinking about how the regular season ended. They weren't thinking about clinching on the next to last day and then not being able to get the job done on the final day. All of that was completely in the past. It seemed like everybody was focused on the jobs they had to do for that series against the Rays. And I just had a feeling when we got off of that flight in Florida and we're headed to the hotel that this is a team that is supremely focused and has completely put the regular season behind it and is only thinking about the task at hand. And so I had a good feeling when I went to bed that night, not that we were going to necessarily win the series or make it all the way to the World Series, but I just had a feeling that collectively this team's head was in the right place.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't sure about Tampa. I felt good about Baltimore. Yeah. I thought they were too young. And then Houston, I was like, eh. And then we got to Arizona, got to face Arizona, and I was like, eh. I almost said the wrong word. All this BS about them being a scrappy team and all this stuff, you know, all right. If you keep them off the bases, they can't be very scrappy.
Yeah.
If you get out to big leagues, they can't be scrappy. And,
right.
And you know, and I know game one was in peril and you know, that's a big deal. You know, if you lose game one, but once they won that, I was like, all right.
Well, that was a kick to the crotch too. I mean, you go into the ninth inning, you're winning game one, go into the ninth inning. You've got a 2-run lead. You've got two outs, and Corey Seager for some reason was pitched to.
Yeah.
I mean, and I give Lovito whatever Lovello. I give Lovello credit when he was asked about it. He goes, "Well, hell yeah, I can second guess myself an armchair GM right now. I mean, or armchair manager right now." He goes, "Would I do it again?" He said, "You know, I had my closer out there. I felt like that's what I would do. I wanted to get the out, and you didn't want to put the winning run on or up to the plate." And he goes, "So it's real easy to second guess it right now, and I'm rethinking. I'll rethink everything." I gave him credit. I was sitting there when he said that. I was like, "That's pretty. You know what? That's an honest answer." What that is.
Yeah. Well, now to Arizona's credit, they came back. They won game two, but I just felt like, this is dangerous. That was just my deep baseball intuition that I've accumulated over the years. But I think a lot of people are concerned about. They haven't done a ton in free agency, or maybe you know, relative to the last 2 years, they haven't done a lot. But they don't have a lot to do. I think that's maybe you gleaned that at your fancy front office Christmas party. But it seems like you know they're probably comfortable with where they're at.
I think that's probably true. And by the way, the party was nice. I don't know if I'd call it fancy. We had we had pork barbecue sliders and some vegetable egg rolls, which was nice. But you're right. I mean, compared to last offseason and the season before that, you know, the amount of work that needed to be done, I think right now is not anywhere near that.
Exactly.
But I think that they really feel that they're in a position to make a run again and to do this again. And I had the opportunity to talk for a little bit last night at the event with Chris Young, and I wanted to thank him personally for signing Kirby Yates. And I know that Kirby Yates has kind of come in under the radar here, but for me, I have not been this excited about an under-the-radar signing ever, ever. Mm-hmm. Kirby Yates is a guy who led the National League in saves back in, I think it was 2019.
Right.
When he had 41 saves. And I can remember watching a number of games that he pitched where his changeup, I think it's a split finger changeup that he throws, maybe the nastiest pitch that I saw in baseball that year. It was unhittable pitch. And this past year with Atlanta, I went back to look at some of the numbers just on that pitch. And they're very, very good. Maybe not quite as good as they were in 2019. But remember, he's coming back, you know, this past year, he's coming back from surgery. So the numbers were close. And so there's a lot, I think, that Kirby Yates brings to the table. If he's the 2023 Kirby Yates for the Rangers in 2024, that's an outstanding addition to the bullpen. But here's a guy with a veteran presence who I think is going to just slide right in to that bullpen and to the clubhouse and be just a huge addition for the ball club. And everybody that I've ever talked to, players that I've talked to that have been teammates of his that know him, talk about what a great teammate he is. So I'm excited with that addition. And I actually thanked Chris Young for that last night. And then, you know, here we just signed Tyler Mahle.
Yeah.
You know, Tyler Mahle, just 2 years ago was an anchor for that Cincinnati Reds rotation. He was a 13-game winner. He was with, you know, Minnesota last year before he had to be shelved early in the season. So the Rangers aren't going to get to see him until the second half of 2024. But, you know, my first thought when I think about Tyler Mahle is sort of a combination innings, eater, strikeout guy. Mm-hmm. So you'd be adding another guy to the rotation who's got that swing and miss in his, arsenal. Right. And then when you remember that we're also going to be at some point in the second half getting Jacob DeGrom back next year.
Good trade deadline.
Yeah. In addition to the great starters that you already have, you know, yeah, it's not a lot of action this offseason, but man, those two particular additions have me excited.
You know, it seems like with DeGrom and Mahle that they're setting themselves up for a bullpen that's for the last 2 months, it's going to look a lot like the bullpen did in the World Series with multiple starters who are in the bullpen and who can, you know, if you have to go to a bullpen game, you're in good shape. You know, if you need to make a move early,
you need to piggyback off of those,
you know,
two.
I just feels like that's maybe what they're trending to. And I at the winter meetings, I asked Chris Young if they could do that. He said, yes, you know, there are a lot of, you know, they're going to take their 13 best pitchers. And if that point in the season, if Dane Dunning and Andrew Heaney, let's say, are pushed out by Mahle and DeGrom, that worked pretty darn good in the postseason.
It is not a bad thing.
And it's a luxury that a lot of teams don't have.
Nope.
You know?
Yeah.
And if we know anything about Major League Baseball, it's you have to have depth at starting pitching. Nobody goes through a season hardly with just five pitchers, five starting pitchers. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah. Well, and that, you know, the Rangers did that in 2011. And then in 2012, I think they might have gotten caught with their pants down because Colby Lewis got hurt right out of the All-Star break. And they put Scott Feldman into that spot, that fifth spot in the rotation. They didn't get a win out of the fifth spot of the rotation that point on.
Second half.
You know, and you know, everybody talks about, oh, they collapsed. Josh Hamilton missed the fly ball. Ryan Dempster was a bust. Things that are true, but that's the reason they didn't win the division for the third straight year, because they didn't have quality
starting pitching
depth. So anyway, you know, we're throwing it back to 2012 with Matt Hicks today.
No kidding.
You know, John, you said that, you know, teams just don't make it through a season with just five starting pitchers. And we were talking about Tyler Mahle. It was about that same time, 2012 or 2013, 2014, that the Cincinnati Reds went through an entire season and five of their starters made all but one start that year. They had five starters that made 161 starts. One of the last times I can remember a team actually making it through a season with only five starters.
It's just rare.
Yeah.
Very rare.
The Rangers did it in 11 with who was it? CJ, Matt Harrison, Ogando, Lewis, and I'm probably forgetting somebody obvious, but I apologize, but I think Harrison had a kidney stone
and didn't miss a start
in St. Louis and missed a start, and I think I want to say Dave Bush made the start. But anyway, it's so rare. And now with the game is shifted where guys don't even get through the fifth inning, you know, you get five innings out of them, it's a good start.
Yeah.
You're not going to see that again. So
nope.
Look, what are you doing for the holidays? You chilling around the house?
Yeah, in fact, later today I'm going to be out at Love Field. We got our son flying in from L.A. for the Christmas break. And so we just are planning a little quiet time here at home for the holidays. Of course, my wife and I had planned a trip out to Los Angeles back in October. Yeah. But work kind of got in the way there.
Yeah, something happened in October.
So that trip has now been postponed to early February. So we're just going to take it easy here around the holidays. And then looking forward to meeting a lot of Ranger fans in January on the various caravans that we've got, plus Fan Fest later in the month. And then we'll take a little time off in February before we crank it up again in late February.
Yeah, it's going to come. It's going to come quicker this year.
Yeah.
But yep. Hey, you know, it'll be.
Well, everybody would like for that to be the case every year. I guarantee you.
Absolutely. Well, listen, we're going to get him on again.
Yeah.
Because we want to get into the whole story about your process of how you got up to the big leagues and all of that. But Matt and I are, this is the one guy I can brag to about something that he will appreciate. Matt and I found out a couple years ago, we are theater dads.
All right.
Matt's son is getting the same degree that my son is getting at Missouri State. And Matt, you're going to love this. They don't do this at USC. You and I had talked about it, but they allowed him this spring or this fall to audition for spring shows. He actually was the only freshman to get a callback for speaking for named roles. And actually got a small part named role. He's the only freshman to do that. So I will be making my first trip to Missouri State to watch him in a play. You do it a lot for your son out at USC, who is also an actor.
Yeah.
And so Matt and I, we talk about this. A lot of people are talking like baseball. Yes, yeah. We are.
You know, one of the exciting things about being a theater dad is the fact that, and John, you know, you and I think for a lot of our careers, it's been focused on sports. And to have a son who is doing something that you really truly know not a whole lot about, but right. you can help to fuel their passion for something, is really cool, because I can't sit after a performance and go, well, you know, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, but you could have done this a lot better. You don't do that. All you do is you sit and you bask in the glow of, you know, watching one of your offspring following a passion and doing really well at it. And so
yes,
I just get a terrific boost from watching him perform. And we're looking forward to seeing him here for these holidays.
Hey, awesome. So Matt and I one day could be sitting there and eating the meal before the game, talking about two offspring that might be starring in a movie together or in a TV pilot or something, that we're there together there, and none of y'all are going to have any idea, and you're going to be looking at us with envy.
Well, I hope I hope they make big money and you know, you guys can retire. That's what I hope.
They can sponsor some Rangers today and get into it. My son does love baseball. He never played it. He played it for a few years, but it was a lot of fun, and he really likes the Rangers too. But we're going to get you out of here, Matt. He's got to jump on the call. Man, we appreciate you coming on as always. We're going to get you back on. I want to get into your journey of how you got into broadcasting, how you made it to this booth, because I know a lot of Ranger fans that listen to this, they want to hear the nerd stuff like that.
Yeah.
About your journey and how you got there. We can't do an hour show here. We got to get it rolling. Anything else before we get him out?
No.
I understand, guys, and I'm definitely a nerd. So,
hey, I wasn't going to call you that.
We can fill in whatever you want. We'll nerd out together.
That's it.
We might have to have him come stop by Hoppenstein.
Hey, Hoppenstein on January 18th. It's a brewery there in Grapevine, Texas. We're going to be doing a live show there.
I'll send you information.
Yeah, we'll send you some info about it. If you're out and about, certainly jump on with us for a little bit. We're going to have some fans out there for Jeff's book signing and do some fun stuff.
I don't need any excuse to go to Grapevine.
Perfect. Let's do it.
All right, guys. Thanks. Matt Hicks. He's the color analyst for the Rangers. Texas World Series champion Texas Rangers. Matt, thanks so much, and we will talk to you next time we see you out there.
Very good. Thanks, guys.
All right.
All right. Down in the Bus Leagues is brought to you by Rangers Today.
running a special on Rangers today. $48 for 1 year. For any of your Ranger fans out there, go get a subscription for a year, or you can get them a gift for the holidays. This is for a holiday special. Rangers today, $48 for 1 month. For 1 year, $48. Now let's go down in the bus leagues. Big thanks to Matt Hicks for joining us. Guys, this is the first time in a while we are going to go down in the bus leagues real quick. Yeah. Nothing huge. It's not going to be very long, but we got to talk about a few things. Namely, Rule 5.
Right. The Rangers selected Carson Coleman from the Yankees. He's on the major league roster, so he's not a minor leaguer, but he's never played in the majors. He's recovering from Tommy John surgery, which seems to be a theme with the Rangers these days. But good stuff, good fastball. He was a closer at Double A for the Yankees the last time he pitched. Did well. You know, looks like
he's going to start on the 60-day.
He's going to start on the 60-day. It's going to be tricky because he has to be on the active roster for 90 days. So, depending on when he because he's a reliever, he doesn't need the 14 to 15 months recovery time like a starter would. So, it's potential he could be ready in June and then easily make the 90 days. But, of course, he has to perform, and the Rangers have to be able to stash him away in the bullpen. But what that the Rangers lost Justin Slayton to the Mets, who then traded him to the Red Sox. He had a great year. And he had a real good year in a season in Arizona. He could be back though. While he had a good year, he needs to throw more strikes. And there's some concern that maybe he doesn't throw enough strikes to be successful in the major leagues. But you never know. But what that did mean is that the Rangers did not lose Blaine Crim, which is very good. He has a chance for Dane his Acker. Debut this year. Didn't Dane lose. Acker. Who I thought would be protected, but he wasn't. I think his walks were up, and he has the medical concerns. So right. I think that might
have Comier, is that his name?
Scared some teams away.
Starts with a C. There was another pitcher that some thought that might get – never mind. Don't listen to me. Just ignore me.
Yeah, so anyway, and the Rangers have already moved to protect Justin Foscue.
Right.
Antoine Kelly. Our good friend Mark Church and Jose Corniel, who is the pitcher of the year. So they're on the 40 man. I think Foscue has a real good chance to have some meaningful at bats this year, depending on what the Rangers do
at the DH or
DH. So anyway, and then
they've got in house candidates. We talked about that anyway.
Depending on what they do and what their money situation is, they need minor leaguers to start doing something.
Right.
So
it's time, and we haven't really talked about it, but I mean, it's time for Jack Leiter to step up.
Yeah,
I mean, he needs to step up. Yeah. Of course, Cole Wynn's down in the Dominican.
No, he's in Puerto Rico. He's finished, I believe. He made six starts, 2.78 ERA. The first two were shaky, so he pitched his tail off the last four. Seems like he's in a good mood. I reached out to him because I'm going to be in the same part as Colorado as where he lives. I didn't suggest that we get dinner or anything, but I was like, hey, we'd love to have you on the podcast again. He said, sure, sounds good. So, it's a big year for Cole, but I really think that, in Puerto Rico, it's not as good as the Dominican Winter League.
Right.
But it's still got him out of a stale place,
I mean, we talked about it earlier too. This strike zone thing in the AAA still a problem, and so it was good to get him out there where that's not the issue.
Yeah,
and let him face real batters without the whole trying to work around the
because he's got the stuff, and I think the Rangers feel good about Cole Wynn right now. Yeah. So anyway, keep an eye out for blessedfeet.org for Luke Savage's drive coming up, and that's such a good deal. I think maybe we can try to work with him to get something set up. Maybe he can come to Hop and Sing, like we talked about earlier, and just set out a box, and we can tell people to bring your old cleats by or whatever old equipment you're not using, and donate it. It goes to a good cause. So
great organization. Some kids like that really need that stuff. So that's really cool.
Yeah, and then I think at the beginning of January, there's talk that the Rangers are going to have their what would be a third straight leadership conference with some of the top minor leaguers. Bring them into Arlington, talk to them about some things, kind of let them see the ballpark and get acclimated there. And if they do that, I would imagine it would be a lot of the guys we just talked about, Leiter, Wynn, the guys on the 40. I would think Wyatt Langford would be
one of the guys.
One
for
of the
sure,
guys
yeah.
too. So a lot of stuff that goes on. You know, it's kind of a, I guess it's a dead time right now where the team right. can't really contact the minor leaguers. So they're out on their own doing whatever they do. But come January, everything will get rolling towards spring training again with these guys.
All right, and like we said, come January 18th. We did announce it earlier. We do have the date for the live show that we're going to do at Hop and Sting.
Yep.
In Grapevine. Jeff and I have already scouted it out. We'll probably make another trip out there just to check it out. But we've already got one guest lined up. Going to be a good one. Someone you're going to want to go see. But trying to get some more. We don't want to make that announcement yet of who's going to be there. We can announce where it's going to be and what time. That's 7 p.m. Again, thanks for Matt Hicks for joining us. Good of him to jump on. That's Down in the Bus Leagues, guys. That's episode 102. We're moving forward. And until next time, we will see you at the yard.